So me have to work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. So me better work, 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 work. When you walk a line, 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 line. I'm in the care for my tar, 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 tar. Drive me a dessert.
Hello, everyone. It's WitWorks Radio, and it's a rainy Tuesday, and we're here with a couple employers to discuss lots of things. Here's Sarah to introduce them.
Hi, Sarah Dell, and I just want to thank you guys for joining us for WitWorks Radio. Today, we're joined by two employers who hire computer majors, Lillian Castro from Hewitt, or Harvard, and Anthony Lasada from the Broad Institute in Cambridge. And we're going to discuss the recruiting process, sort of do's, don'ts, and how to be successful. To get started, I wondered if you could introduce yourselves and your organizations.
Hi, my name is Lillian Castro. I work at Harvard University Information Technology, also known as Hewitt. I've been with the organization for the past 2 years. It's funny, my first job out of college was at an HR consulting firm as an administrative assistant, and today I actually recruit and train co-op candidates, so it's wonderful.
That's great.
I'm Anthony Lasada from the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard, commonly referred to as just the Broad here on the East Coast. I am the product owner of IT engineering at the Broad, and I also run our recently established co-op program where we partner with Wentworth here. I myself started in the help desk, worked my way up. My major was nuclear physics and kind of just stumbled my way into IT.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So please describe what roles you recruit for and your recruiting process just generally overall.
Okay, the role I recruit for is Hewitt Technology Solutions Engineer. The role works within our support services team, and it is based at the Walk-In Support Center in Harvard Yard. We are known as the WISC on campus. We also hire for our field support services team. They could be based out of Harvard Yard or Alston. Specifically at the WISC, the role is split up into three parts. That is supporting our computer labs, helping our front desk. It's kind of like a walk-up help desk. And the other part of the role is working on a project that would be aligned with any innovative solutions that the students would come up with for Hewitt.
That's great. Anthony?
So I hire for the IT operations team mm-hmm. at the Broad Institute. We're the operational team, so we have kind of a mix of scripting and raw development of new services. Our co-op team specifically is we hire three co-ops every semester that serve as an independent scrum team. They're given their own projects altogether, and we just let them have at those. We focus mostly on removing tech debt from the organization, and our big thing is making sure that our co-ops are providing actual value to the institute as a whole. So it's really exciting to be able to bring them in and have this protected team that just rips through projects for us.
That's awesome. For those who don't know, can you describe a little bit of the Scrum process?
Absolutely. So Scrum is a particular agile framework, which is a style of project management that's very popular in software development now. For all of you software students out there, if you don't know it now, now's the time to learn it, because every job you take is going to be looking for it. I always tell our co-ops that's one of their major benefits from working with us, is that they're going to learn Scrum. And the general idea is you've got three main roles. You've got a development team consisting of somewhere between 3 and 6 people. A quote scrum master, which is kind of like your logistics project manager. They make sure things are kind of moving along. And then the product owner, which is the one kind of picking the projects, setting the acceptance criteria, things like that. So it kind of splits that traditional project management role into two main portions.
Cool.
That's
great. Thanks for that. So can you guys tell us a little bit about how the recruitment process works? Like, do students submit resumes? Do they need cover letters? How many interviews are there? That type of thing.
So depending on the semester that we're hiring, we could hire anywhere between 2 to 4 co-ops. In the fall, we hire more, and in the summer, we hire less because it is a little bit quieter on campus. The way that the recruiting process works is that they would submit their resume through WitWorks. The senior tech team and I will go through them. We look at the cover letters, the resumes, what are their experience. And we work together as a team to determine who will go to the next round for interviewing.
Our process is pretty similar. Every semester, I hire three students to constitute this development team. We use WITWORKS exclusively because it's easy on the students and it's easy on me. I just have a giant portal to go read a bunch of resumes. I have a team of three people that reviews every resume we receive. And then from that point, we will select our top 6 to 10 candidates and invite them in for an interview. And we do a single interview, and typically that's enough, and we select the top three from there.
That's great. So you don't, Anthony, you don't use cover letters for your application process?
We do not require cover letters, and we do not do GPA checking at all. Mm-hmm. It's just the resume. If people send us a cover letter, which sometimes happens, we'll certainly take the time to read it. Mm-hmm. It's just not something we require.
Okay, great. Yeah, I know there are other employers that I've talked to, and I'm curious because some employers will not even read a cover letter or not ask for one, and they don't want to even look at it. But it's great to hear from you two that, Lillian, you'll definitely look at cover letters. And I've heard that's actually useful because if you're user-facing, I guess it helps with, you know, demonstrating communication and those kinds of things. Can you say a little bit more about what you look for in a cover letter?
Yes, I definitely do look them over, especially working with students that may not have a lot of work experience. It gives us a peek as to what their goals are and what they want to accomplish within the IT field. It also lets us know if they're enthused about the position that they're applying for. Are they applying for the job because it's a requirement, or do they really desire to work with us? Cover letter gives us a little bit more insight as to what it is the student wants to do.
Great.
So it's good for them to kind of talk about their interests, why they're interested in your company, the role, because that helps you make a decision.
Great. Yes, it's what is it that they want to do as a career, and what can we do at Harvard to help get them there? If we know more information about what it is that they want to do within the cover letter, because, you know, sometimes a resume doesn't get at that. Mm-hmm. And so that helps us figure out, okay, so, wow, we're actually working on a project that may touch upon this. This may be a good candidate to bring in an interview.
Cool. And along that same line, what are you looking for in the resume? You said you want to see what their career goals are like in the cover letter, and there are certain skills you're looking for, certain levels of experience in the resume.
So let me tell you what I don't like to see. Because sometimes I get resumes that are like a half page, or there's a lot of like double spacing. Mm-hmm. And I know that it might be, you know, people get anxious when they're applying to a position, and their resume, they're able to add more to it. Even if they don't have work experience, they have experience from like their classes. Are there any clubs or organizations? Do they have any hobbies? I would like to see more details. Like, I understand that you may not have a lot of experience, but we want to know what else you're working on. Fill it up with your courses, fill it up with what you've learned and how that will make you a candidate for the position that we posted.
Do you also like to see projects on a resume?
I do because a lot of the projects may be something that they could continue working on or bring to Hewitt. Maybe something that they worked in class, maybe they've done some sort of application that may be a game, but maybe parts of it could be applied to, I don't know. We had a student last year help us work on our printing system. And I think those experiences that they have in class, they could bring it over. And they even come up with their own ideas, like, hey, we did this in this course. What do you think about, you know, bringing it to the WISC? Can I have this opportunity? And just seeing their excitement, I definitely, let's talk about it. Let's lay it out on paper, or, you know, let's go to the conference room right now and put it up on the dry board and let's talk through it. But I think those experiences in classes is what helps, you know, stir up those innovative projects.
So I think I can echo a lot of what Lillian just said there. Like, for me, the class list, I could care less about, because for the most part I'm getting CS and CE majors. You've all taken the same classes. By the 10th resume, I've got the list down and memorized. But the projects for us are huge, and especially personal projects. If you have a personal project on there, that puts you to the top 10% of my stack right away. The class projects, again, I have those memorized at this point. And we know what you're doing, we know what you're learning, but for us, getting that personal project, like Lillian had referred to earlier, showing that you have a passion for what you're doing, this really drive and desire to learn, this hunger, that's what we want to see. So when we see someone that's like, hey, I was messing around with these Raspberry Pis in my dorm room and built myself a little FTP server, then we get excited about that. As simple as that may be, it shows us that you're constantly looking for ways to take this. And even more so, you had some problem in your life and you used your skill set to solve that problem. That's huge.
That's great. A lot of students worry about putting too simple a project on their resume, but that's really where they are and how they're growing. And we always encourage them to put personal projects on their resume as well. It just shows that passion.
And I would like to kind of comment on, like, don't worry about putting things that are simple. Like, we know when we're hiring at co-ops that they're undergrads right now, or at least that's the co-ops that I'm hiring. So you may be freshman, sophomore, junior, something like that. I don't know. But I'm not looking for so much what you know coming in as much as what are you ready to learn. That's the big thing. I understand that every co-op I hire, I call it the, quote, teaching tax that the company has to pay. I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to say, all right, there's this whole new system that you've never even heard of. I'm going to have to spend a day teaching it to you. But after that, I expect you to be able to kind of keep spinning up and learning more on your own. And we always kind of watch this progression with co-ops that when we hire them, I spend half my time with them the first several weeks, at least half my time. And by the end, I check in with them for 15 minutes during their stand up in the morning, and they go, hey, we've got this. It's the blocker. Don't worry. We're going to fix it ourselves. And I barely have to talk to them. They're going to take care of everything they need. And I'm just a resource if they need me.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I've had students also hesitate if they have a project that it didn't go perfectly.
Oh, let me hear about it. Let's talk about what you learned from it. Exactly. I mean, as long as you're ready to talk about it didn't work. I'm pretty sure it didn't work because of this. And, you know, I'm going to try this, or I decided it wasn't worth my time because of this limitation. That's a big thing. Lillian had mentioned things she doesn't like to see on a resume. A very popular one that I see specifically to call out Wentworth right now is that students like to put assembly onto their resume, and that's because there's an intro level class here that goes over assembly. I think it's in the CE major. And I know for sure that you do not know assembly. You might be able to read it. If you put something on your resume, you need to be prepared to answer questions about it. So if you're gonna list the languages you know, Java, Python, C++, things like that, as long as you're ready that if I ask you a question, you can answer it, because the moment that I ask you a question, you're not ready for it, that's a big ding.
Good to know. I also have students that ask if they're starting a project or if they're in the middle of a project, should they put it on there or should they wait until it's finished?
I would say definitely put it on there, because they may have an opportunity to work with our senior techs that may help them, give them some ideas on how to continue working on the project. I always love seeing the interaction between our co-ops and our senior techs. They talk about everything. It's a great opportunity to tap into someone who has experience and could help, you know, shape and model the path of the project.
Totally agree with everything Lillian just said.
Thank you.
Yeah, and often it might be like something new they're working on, and you can see that they've actually worked with that skill, worked with that tool. So I always encourage them to put it on as well. Especially senior design, well, that's for full time. But yeah. Like, oh, I haven't really worked too much. Like, it's summer. You spent a whole semester on it. Let's see that project.
Yes.
I'm meeting with one of my former co-ops actually this coming week to go over his. He asked me to review his resume. So I had my whole team at Broad review his resume and red ink it up. And we're going to meet, and I'm excited to learn, because he said, yeah, I've been working on my senior project and I can't wait to hear about it.
That's awesome.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Do either one of you use technical challenges as part of your process?
Absolutely.
Yes.
What would they be? Or what kinds do you like?
Well,
I want to give away the...
Yeah, in the general sense, we provide a few technical problem scenarios, and we ask that they provide us with the solutions. It shows us if they're able to work through their problems Are they able to rule out any troubleshooting steps or come up with real-time on-the-spot solutions? We have a quick-paced environment, and so we want them to be able to think on their feet. And we do pose technical questions during the interview just to see how they react. It's not a lot of pressure, but it's just having them go through what it feels like when you're explaining your troubleshooting steps out loud.
So our interview process is actually pretty simple. It's a 1-hour interview with anywhere from 1 to 3 people from Broad and then the one candidate. And we spend at least half the interview on the technical portion. And what we're looking for is the same idea. It's problem solving. I'll give away one of my questions and I'll just get a new one and never use it again. But one of the questions I used to love to ask, and again, used to, was, you see the door there in the corner of the room? I would like that door to now be automatic. I require a technical diagram, you know, it can be stick figures, I don't care, and a parts list, and then we're gonna talk it through. And that has nothing to do with programming. The idea is I want them to take some problem and I want them to start approaching it. And the only rules are this: you must think out loud, and the only incorrect answer is I don't know. And the idea is as they develop some solution, the three of us sitting there are gonna start poking holes in it. And as we poke holes, we want to see how they react. Do they fix that hole? Do they say, well, that doesn't actually matter, let me go work on this other thing? Or do they beat us to those holes? Because a lot of times as they stand there whiteboarding, and that's what we provide is whiteboard and markers, they'll be like, oh, well, actually, if I put the sensor here, this person's going to get hit by the door, so I can't do that.
That would be a problem.
And so it's all about, like Lillian had said, thinking on their feet. Are they good at problem solving? You know, we do another type of technical question that I would say, which is like just knowledge baseline setting. Mm-hmm. Again, if you put assembly on your resume, I'm going to ask you a question. One of my guys loves to ask the question, in whatever language of your choice, I'm going to provide you a string and I want you to make it all uppercase. How do you do it? And the answer to that for anyone that's listening to this, here's your cheat, is in every single language, there's a function that says something like to upper that will turn the string into uppercase. And it kind of weeds out people, because someone that doesn't spend a lot of time programming will be like, well, I got a for loop, I got to do this, I got to do that. And other people are like, well, there's a quick and easy answer here. So we'll kind of do that to establish baseline knowledge, but finding that baseline takes moments. Mm-hmm. If you put Java on your resume, I can find out how well you know Java in 3 questions. We spend half the interview trying to focus on problem solving.
That's great. Yeah, we often tell students, you know, they're always concerned, oh, what technical question are they going to ask me? Like, what if I don't know? And we tell them it's about how they think and how they solve the problem and, you know, thinking out loud and, like, walking you through the steps. That's the most important piece. It sounds like you guys are on the same page about that.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Absolutely.
So you did go into this a little bit about your favorite interview questions for technical things, but what about your favorite interview questions in general? What do you guys like to ask?
So I don't have any particular favorites, but I have some that I ask consistently that you better be ready to answer. I have never in my life been on either side of an interview where somebody didn't ask, why did you apply to this particular position? And if you fumble with that, if you don't have some answer ready, that's a problem. I had one co-op student actually that said, honestly, I took the shotgun approach. I applied to everything that I would qualify for. And I was like, I'm fine with that. That's a legitimate strategy in job hunting. I think when I first was job hunting after college, I stopped counting at 120 resumes.
Wow.
So that's a legitimate strategy, but be ready to answer questions like that. Know what the company does before you go into the interview. I had one person going, you know, I said, what attracted you to the Broad Institute? And they go, oh, I don't know what you guys do.
Oh,
man. Like, you got to Google the company.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah. I'm in total agreement. I've asked the candidates why they've applied to our position, and they're like, oh, it's because it's Harvard. And it's just like, okay, but how does that align with your IT career and what you want to accomplish? Mm-hmm. And so that is something that they definitely have to do, is research the company, even if it's some company that is well known and everyone knows the name. But look at their IT department. What is it that they do? How are you going to contribute to their goals? You know, what are you going to bring? Why should they choose you? And so definitely research the company and be ready to ask those questions.
Do you do any behavioral style interviewing? You know, tell us about a time when. I'm just curious.
We do because Part of the role is working at our front desk, and they will be having, they'll be interacting a lot with other students in Harvard, professors, visiting scholars. So we want to be able to know how you're going to handle working with customers. You know, have you worked on a team environment before, whether it was a class or, you know, did you have a team member or somebody that you worked with in partnership to your personal projects? Like, how do you behave? How do you interact?
As far as behavioral for us, our co-ops typically aren't customer service facing, but for the positions that I interview that are, we do the exact same kind of question. Mm-hmm. Give us, you know, a time when a customer was mad at you. Like, mm-hmm. I worked at a shoe store. And so I'd say, oh yeah, well, this person, I was putting their shoes on, helping them pinch their foot, something like that. But for our co-op positions in particular, the only like really behavioral thing we do is we immediately try to make you nervous. People come in and they're very composed, and we do introductions, and then we get your elevator pitch, and then we immediately try to break you out of interview mode. We want to see that you're prepared, but then we want to see what you're really like. We give you kind of 15 minutes to be in interview mode where you're very composed and you're spitting out answers that you had prepared, and then after that, we try to kind of break your flow a little bit.
Well, it's important, I think, to get to know what they're really, I agree with that. And at first I was like, oh no, because they're already nervous. Yeah. But yeah, I see that. You want to know what they are really like as a person, not what they've scripted.
Exactly. That's a much nicer way of saying it.
You break them down. All right, well, I think that's a great spot to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about the job search and employer's advice.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. If you just joined us, we're speaking with a couple employers today all about interview process, job search, and a day in the life of co-op. So if a student is co-oping with you and wants to come back for a second co-op, what is the best way for them to go about doing that?
So we've actually, I think we're still in our first year of partnership with Wentworth. So I just got yesterday my first two that asked to come back, which were for my first batch with Wentworth. And I would prefer they had emailed me or called me or something to let me know. But I saw their resumes hit the portal, and that was effective at least.
Okay. during the semester, I asked that they directly ask me or, you know, come knock on my door. I always tend to give them priority over the next semester. Mm-hmm. I've had about 3 students do their second co-op with us. It's always welcome. They end up taking on, like, a leadership role. They help the new co-ops get acclimated. And they also continue working on a project if they had started it the previous semester. So there's definitely opportunity to do second co-ops at Hewitt.
I had also, like, similarly, I had actually encouraged my co-ops to not come back and to take advantage of the opportunity to try out different institutes, because I would say Harvard and Broad are kind of a similar atmosphere. We're very academic, maybe have a little bit more laid-back schedule sometimes. So try something that's either very corporate or very startup and hit that. But if they want to come back, all those advantages that Lillian mentioned are key. Like, warning to those that are planning on coming back this next semester, they're going to be the scrum masters. I'm not giving one from my department. Instead, let's put them in charge and have them go at it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, we always want them to gain more skills when they do a second co-op. And so if they don't, you know, do a different company or a different role, it's great that you're giving them that chance to be, you know, gain those leadership skills.
What advice do you have for students to prepare for their search? I know they're all different types of strategies, Anthony, you had mentioned, but
so
different approaches.
The shotgun approach is legitimate. It's not the one I recommend, but sometimes you do what you got to do. The idea for me is really think about what it is that you want to be doing. Like, I'm an operations team. I'm not a development team, primarily. And we're hiring CS majors, half of which are going to go into careers in full-time development, and that's what they're looking for. So if that's what you want to get ready for, try and find the co-ops that have it. Like, my co-op, we do offer a lot of development opportunities because they're a scrum team that's working on independent projects for us. But if you're looking for more like networking, I've hired a networking major at one point, and you want to get in that, make sure you're looking for what it is that you want and really throw your weight behind it. If they're taking cover letters, customize that cover letter. Make sure that it's not some generic template where you've just changed the company name because we know and we suddenly count a lot less for it.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm always telling students that if you don't tailor your cover letter, it's basically going to get you into the no pile.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
So why do you guys hire co-op students? How does it benefit, you know, your department or your company?
So we hire co-ops for many reasons. Primarily, we want to have students gain technical experience. As a university, that is what we do. We teach. We have a few hires from Wentworth that have been with us for some time, and it's a wonderful partnership. We have some that are senior techs and managers within Hewitt, and just knowing that they started off as co-ops and moved up to where they are today, it's wonderful to see, just having the opportunity to see where they started from and see the development year after year.
Yeah, I think I met Eric Thompson, and he used to be a co-op there, and now he manages like an IT team, is that?
Yep, he's also part of our field support team, and we help recruit and interview, and we have a co-op program that he's, like, we partner.
That's great.
Yeah, he's great.
So I gotta say, that's the dream right there.
Yeah.
We're very new into co-ops. I run a similar program, like when I was in college, actually. I ran it for my physics department, taking undergrads when I was a grad student. And so it kind of took it on as, I will be very honest, the way it started at Broad was there was a project that was given to me that I didn't want to do and claimed that a high schooler could do if I taught them. And so we started there, and I convinced them to let me hire some interns. But for us, the big thing, while we eventually want that hiring pipeline, the big thing today is that we get this team of 3 individuals that is perfectly shielded. they have no other responsibilities in our organization other than the projects that they're assigned to and that they take on. And that means they get a lot done. At the end of every co-op, we have this kind of physical project board that we keep in the department where we show every week the whole department gathers around and talk about what each team's been up to. And so at the end of the co-op, I line up every project that they've done and put a big X through it on that board. It ends up being like somewhere between 10 and 15 projects,
wow.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
It's so much because,
wow.
Yeah, they're fully protected. Like the rest of us, during my day, I cannot tell you how many times I get pinged and asked to go, hey, can you look at this real quick? Hey, you wrote this 10 years ago. Can you go look at it?
And meetings.
Meetings.
Huge.
Oh, I spent 7 hours in meetings yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that, in Agile, so I'm using the Agile word here, the Scrum word, shielded, which means that they're protected from outside draws on their time. It's just huge.
Boy, that sounds wonderful.
That's why
some
we keep doing it.
Some of your team want to be shielded?
I am working very hard to shield my team currently, and it is very difficult.
I was going to say, it's difficult for us.
Yeah.
One moment they're at the front desk, the next they're across campus trying to get a lab backup, or they're all over the place. But what I really appreciate is their flexibility and being able to change gears at a moment's notice. So,
well, for some people that's great, because otherwise they'd get bored. They always love having things changing up all the time.
That's great. So, Elaine, you mentioned flexibility. What other like traits or skills or are you guys looking for in your hiring?
So we would like some networking experience as well. They don't have to be experts in it, but be able to at least answer very basic general questions. We manage over 100 different computer labs that include, you know, an Apple computer, a Dell Windows 10, and also HP printers. And so what's really funny is that everyone comes in, we ask like some technical questions, and everyone always goes to like the wireless answers. But most of our labs, I would say 95% of our labs are, you know, through Ethernet. So like, what do you know about that? You know, it's not that different from like how you connect, but it is.
Yeah.
So for us, we're, like I said earlier, we're an operations team. So we're not doing raw development with my development co-ops. They're, you know, not programming some new program or some new web interface. What they're doing mostly is automating tasks. They're creating some sort of automation or some sort of data validation for us. So that means they're talking to a lot of systems like endpoint management systems like Jamf for SECM, to throw out a few words they can Google later. And we need them to do some task that we never want to have to put hands on again. And what that means is they're going to access APIs. So any co-op that has some project written on their resume that shows that they used an API to do something, even if it's just curling down today's weather from the National Weather Institute, like is the curl, which for the CS major is a very simple command. If they know that alone, they're showing that they can have their system that they're writing talk to another system and move information between. That's it. You're in my top three right there.
Wow. That's great. Okay. That's really useful. And you, we're going to talk a little bit about a day in the life and what that kind of looks like.
Okay. So we have two shifts available. One's from either 8 a.m. until 4 or 9 until 6. So first thing that happens is you arrive at the WISC, you clock in, you help open up the front desk, because sometimes we even have clients waiting in line before we're even open. Helping our first customers of the day get situated, get connected with a senior tech, depending on the issue. After the front desk is situated and other staff comes in, then they're able to walk away and focus on our computer labs. You know, do we have any printers offline? Are we moving a lab today from one location to another? Are we taking down a lab? So they get to focus on that. And then they'll have lunch. And then when they get back, depending on how busy it is, they'll be able to work on their projects.
What types of projects?
So since we have so many labs across campus, one of the challenging things is that when co-ops arrive, it's really hard to know exactly where they are. So we had a couple of Wentworth co-ops come in and do these things called location videos, where they actually film or record the outside of the building, and once they go inside, how to navigate through the floors. And it sounds silly, but it's really important.
Yeah, exactly.
It really cuts down on the time, and it's worked semester after semester. We've relied on those to get everyone where they have to be. And so this semester, we actually have a co-op who's going to help update some of the older videos, because that's what happens. We have so many like renovations or closing of buildings that we're constantly moving and shifting our labs around.
So our co-ops are a little bit different, a little less structured, I would say. So once you're kind of in the middle of your co-op, first off, all the work is 100% project-based. And primarily, like I said earlier, we're focusing at tech debt. So for those of you that don't know what technical debt is, that's that concept of no matter how new and great your computer or your system is today, in 3 years it's garbage. That's just, that's technology, yeah. Right? I can buy my best gaming laptop today, and in 2 years it's a piece of junk that won't run anything. And so our projects mostly focus on taking out tech debt or reducing load on the department. And so when a co-op arrives, we're a 9-to-5 shop, so they'll arrive somewhere around 9. We offer some flexibility, like if they need to shift it to just avoid the traffic of the T, like if they want to show up at 8:30 or as late as 9:30, that's fine. They'll settle in at their desk, and at some point early in the day, they're going to have a 15-minute stand-up meeting. So again, this kind of goes back to Agile and Scrum philosophy. For those of you that aren't familiar with it, I highly encourage just doing a little bit of reading. The official Agile guide, by the way, is only 16 pages.
Oh,
so
okay.
Definitely download it, read it, ask people about it. So they'll have that first meeting, which is one of those things from Agile. And the idea of that meeting is you're going to talk to me about what you do yesterday, what is now done, and what are you going to do today? And then this is the big thing. What are you blocked by? What are you stuck on? What are you having difficulty with? Because at that point, you've got one or two senior members of the team, your PO and your Scrum Master, that will help you resolve that. And at the beginning of your internship, as soon as you say, I'm blocked by something, my Scrum Master is just going to run and fix it for you. You say, it could be something like, you know, this computer keeps dying on me. I think its power charger is bad. We'll have a power charger on your desk in 5 minutes. Or it could be something as complex as, I really need to get access to the system. It requires these major networking changes. We'll get it figured out for you. But by the end, what we hope to see is that you're resolving your own blockers. Mm-hmm. So you have that meeting, and then the rest of the day is pretty much your own schedule. All the co-ops sit in one office together, and so that they have this immediate feedback with each other. And our Scrum Master and PO poke the heads in every day, like every so often, see if we can help, see if we can push past a blocker. And they just work on these projects together. And that's the big thing, is it's a big team effort, and they are their own encapsulated team. The rest of us are really just there to help them do what they need to do. And then some point they're going to eat lunch, and some point they're going to go home.
Glad to hear that. Lillian, let's see. Anthony mentioned a little bit about what training looks like at the Broad Institute. Can you talk a little bit about the training or onboarding that co-ops experience when they first start?
Yes, we actually train them for about 2 weeks.
Nice.
We actually sit down in a conference room and we go there's so many procedures, especially because we divide it up between what you do at the front desk versus what you do in the labs. And so I focus on the front desk procedures, you know, what do you need to know, what resources do you need to look for, what do you need access to. You know, try to prepare them the best that I could so that when they are independently working with a customer, that they're not, like Anthony mentioned, blocked by anything. And so I won't let them, you know, they do shadow the front desk, but I won't let them take something independently until I know for sure that I've covered a certain procedure with them and they've actually showed me that they know how to do it. So that's part of it. And then for the lab piece, it's similar, but they have the senior techs to rely on to know about, you know, do I need to re-image a computer? How do I go about that? What's the process for Hewitt? And so it is a little bit thorough just because they are in, you know, different areas within Hewitt. We just want to get them prepared.
That's great. And do you guys use a specific ticketing system?
Yes. Right now we use ServiceNow. at least in our environment. And so we also have an online portal where students and staff members get to go in and actually open up their own tickets. So we have that. We also have a service desk that they're able, you know, our clients or customers are able to call, open up a ticket that way, or they visit the walk-in support center, and our co-ops are helping open up tickets for our staff and that's students.
That's a great experience for them. That's
awesome. Oh, it's great. It's great to see them navigate through the system. What I really love about it is that they are able to put descriptions of what the client is going through, and just to see even their writing and their documentation improve throughout the semester, it's great to see.
Awesome.
So I just want to comment on like how awesome that sounds, because I did help desk. That's how I got my foot in the company at Broad. And I just want to note how much trust you're actually putting into your co-ops, because mm-hmm. when I first joined the Broad, there was a 3 to 6 month waiting period before you worked your first day mm-hmm. down at the help desk in front of customers face to face.
Wow.
to 6 months of shadowing and learning procedures and things like that. So like to have a 2 week program where you can bring someone in and spin them up that fast and be able to trust that they're going to go do things is fantastic. That's an excellent opportunity and a very well-oiled machine.
I try. No, but our co-ops are great. They really, you know, it's as if it's their own organization. They take a lot of pride in coming up with solutions for the clients, which is really great. They even come to the back and they start high-fiving each other or saying, like, you know, whisk. And it's great. It's really wonderful team building. And it's funny that a ticketing system would do that, but yes, it's part of our culture.
That's awesome.
That is. Do you have any advice for students on how to sort of settle into a co-op, or how to work with their manager or their team, sort of how to acclimate?
For me, I'd say it's all about just going all in from day one. Do not be afraid to talk. The co-ops that are the most successful with us are the ones that from day one are providing their opinion, even when people didn't ask for it, because that's why we hired them.
Yeah.
We hired them because we value them. We treat them like full members of the department. In fact, like I had mentioned, alluded to this project board that we have displayed in our department. They get their own entire row of that, just like every other team does in the department. And so the sooner they kind of jump into the middle of things and start getting involved and just learning people's names and what they do, the quicker they're going to be successful. So it's kind of getting past that new job fear, I call it, that we all have when we start a new job. You just got to go for it.
That's great.
I agree. We've had some co-ops where, you know, the first week they're like really quiet and they're kind of like huddled over. They're like, I don't know if I should talk to someone or not. And so we all try to pull them or get them out of their shell in a way. Mm-hmm. And like Anthony mentioned, we try to make them feel like they're a part of the team. Like they are just as part of the team, just as any other senior technician. We just want them to feel comfortable. And in order for them to feel comfortable, we approach them. You know, we start up the dialogue or the conversation if they're having any trouble, you know, kind of like feeling relaxed. And then of course, we don't always just talk about tech stuff. You know, we ask, what do you like to do for fun? And, you know, what you do this weekend? And, you know, just have casual conversation, because it's not, you know, all work related all the time. And that helps you relax, you know.
I actually offered that exact advice to one of my co-ops on Monday. We do one-on-ones on a regular basis, which is just, you get half an hour, since I am quote unquote your manager, right? I'm your supervisor, that you get half an hour of my time every 2 to 3 weeks just to sit and talk. I'm gonna do a check-in, and we always ask 3 questions at least, which is, first off, are you happy? Are you enjoying what you're doing? Because if not, that's a problem for us, and we'll try to fix it. Are you challenged? Because if you're either banging your head against a wall, like you're never gonna get through it, or you're just bored because it's too easy, both those are an issue, and we're gonna try and fix it. And then I just final ask, is there anything you wanna change? Is there anything you want different? And that's sometimes people say, you know what, I really wanted to do some data science while I was here. Is there anything you can give me that would be like that? Or sometimes you're like, no, I'm really happy with what's going on. And so that kind of willingness to ask for what it is they're looking for is huge.
That's great. That is really great. And then we usually give some advice to students about how to wrap up a co-op because, you know, it may be their first professional experience and they're not quite sure how to do it. Any advice on that?
So I have kind of a set spiel I give everyone.
Yeah, that's perfect. Right.
First off, I tell them, update your resume now before
Yay.
You leave.
Thank you.
And ask us to review it. And like I said, I had a co-op just contact me, a former co-op, that sent me his resume to apply to other places this time. And like I said, I must have handed out 15 copies of that resume to my department, and everyone took a red pen to it and gave their opinions to help out. LinkedIn with everybody, connect. I remember LinkedIn first started getting popular when I was in college, and I thought it was the silliest thing ever. I was like, what, Facebook for jobs? Who's gonna use this? Everybody uses it.
Yeah.
Make sure your profile's up to date, put things on there, make connections, because you never know when you're gonna be like, hey, can I get a letter of recommendation, or can I put you down as a contact, a reference? Because sometimes that can be the difference between getting a job and not getting a job. And then send some sort of email to the department, let them know like, hey, we enjoyed working with you. Hope to come back someday if that's what they're looking for. And just let people know because you've reformed those personal relationships. And then finally, we always do a going away lunch. We buy them some lunch, thank them for all their hard work.
Yeah, we have a very similar process. We always try to connect via LinkedIn. And I also ask that they connect with other technicians in the organization via LinkedIn. I've given recommendations. I've talked to other recruiters on behalf of Wentworth students.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, we try to help as best as we could after the fact. They could always, you know, contact us for any questions or information. And we usually do wings.
Nice.
Usually, that's the WISC culture.
So at the Broad Institute, we have a saying when everyone's leaving, and it sounds like Harvard's kind of got a similar atmosphere, and that is that you're a Brody for life.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you've worked with us, as soon as you've come and hung out with us, we want to help you for the rest of your life, if you want it. If you don't want to talk to us, fine, don't talk to us. But if we can do something to help you, we will. This prior co-op that asked me to review his resume just said, hey, can you review it? I had 15 people in the department review it. Like, we will bend over backwards to help our co-ops.
Great. Well, do you guys have co-positions posted for the fall yet?
I'm working on it. Three open right now, and I've got 30-some resumes. I opened it last Friday, so I've got a lot of reading to do.
Perfect. Awesome. All right. Well, keep your eyes open for the Hewitt position to be posted. Do you guys have anything else you wanted to add or any additional advice?
Just thanks for having us.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah,
really invaluable.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. All right. Well, I just want to give a quick plug for an upcoming event. We have our Leopard Lunch and Learn series that's happening this summer in the first floor of the CEIS building, Wednesdays at 11. And tomorrow is building community outside of Wentworth. So definitely stop by if you've got time in your schedule. But otherwise,
I just wanted to let everybody know that tomorrow in Cambridge, there is a talk for women in technology, women in tech, about what it's like to work in the industry, building your community for technology. We tweeted about it. We're going to be tweeting about it again. So just check that out. It's a free chat in Cambridge. I think it starts at 6:00. But check the Twitter, which is at WIT Co-ops and Careers on Twitter and Instagram. You'll see it there. It looks like a really fantastic opportunity moderated by some really fantastic people.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. See you next Tuesday.